Charmy Brand. Welcome, Charmies. Welcome, Rob. Yes, we are doing some Charmy confessions today, but something tells me that these might not just be normal confessions. They might be some Charmy rants.
Yeah, we got a lot of rants over, just a lot of Charmies just expressing sort of their dismay over some of the characters, some of the things that happen. They have feelings and they are letting them all out. So we got a lot of rants as well as confessions coming to you.
Ooh.
But first, we're going to talk about what some of you have asked us about in regards to the Twitter battle between the reboot and the OG writers on the finale of the Charmed reboot show on their fourth season?
Yes, their fourth season.
Okay, Ryan, take us away. What's been going on? What did we witness here?
I did watch the finale reboot, Rob, on the night. I did not watch it live. I DVR'd it. The reason I did watch the finale is because there was this tease that we were going to get some form of the Manor. And now leading to this, Rob and I had been talking off screen, and I kind of keep up with what they're doing on the reboot just because I want to hear what the hell, like, how ridiculous it could be. And I want to preface this. If anyone is a reboot fan, I do not want to offend them in any means. I understand there's shows that speak to various people. And I think I could speak for Rob, too. And that's why sometimes I know we haven't spoken too much about the reboot, because there's a fine line where, you know, you never know if this is someone's favorite show and you're truly, you know, maybe saying something to insult it. But I'm going to give you my honest opinion, and this is the only way I can go about it. So please, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but as a Charmed fan, I do have things that I feel. So long story short, leading up to this again, there was this tease of a Charmed one from a different dimension, and she opened a video store, a VHS store that was, I guess, only accessible to the current Charmed ones. They're all able to get into this video store, and there's VHS tapes that will show different scenarios of where this show could go, basically. How their actions of the Charmed ones, what happens. It's all different scenarios based on how they could save the world or not, or die. The person running this store, well, I mean, it was that actress. Was it Natasha Hens? No, it wasn't. Was
Natasha Henstrin, yes.
It was. Okay. Oh, how funny. And she said that a powerful Charmed one from her world with the power of premonition. So this, again, was leading to Phoebe. So I watched the finale. I know about the characters. I know about the side characters. But I have to tell you, Rob and Charmies, even down to the last episode, and I told Rob this, the Charmed ones, these Charmed ones get sidecast in their own show. It came down to what this show is calling the original Charmed Ones. Three ladies. One turned bad, Rob. And she was unleashed. She was the one. I guess that's, you take the charmed out of the Charmed Ones and you become the one. And long story short, these Charmed Ones are the reboot sisters were going to save the day and sacrifice themselves. Well, guess what? At the end, they decide to become sisters again. And the original Charmed ones die instead. So they are the heroes, basically. They save the day. And then it ends with them going back to the video store. They open a door that's green that has the triquatra that looks like the OG Book of Shadows. And they appear on the manor steps. They have a little moment. They knock. No one answers. And they decide, because the door is open, to go in. We find out that this was a studio set that they recreated in Vancouver where they filmed the reboot Charmed. And then the manor, they zoomed out and then they really got the manor. But it was filmed completely different days. They weren't even there. Then we pick up with the Twitter drama, Rob. So this is when Curtis Keel, who is an original Charmed writer, wanted to fill in the gaps, because a lot of people are saying, my God, there's a Charmed multiverse and it's so exciting. And this opens up a whole avenue, but this also opens a whole lot of drama. So Curtis says, as an original Charmed writer, I can tell you what happened next. Piper, Phoebe, and Paige vanquished the three imposters right after they invaded Hollowell Manor, and then Holly Marie Combs blew up the portal to the other universe and quipped, "We wish them well." So this is also a reference to Holly, what she has said in the past to the reboot. So I do love him bringing this back up. So this actually then triggered a whole thing, because it kind of went to that the reason he said this was because the reboot ladies were ladies of color. So this is where another angle came up. So he goes on to now say, there's Charmed episodes where Piper, Phoebe, and Paige give three imposters a supernatural smackdown. The Power of Three Blondes in season 6, Repo Manor season 8, it totally tracks. That's what happened. But don't blame me. I didn't send those three to the manor to be vanquished. The reboot writers did. So then, in the meantime, the reboot writers, Rob, say that they had there's a no-asshole hiring policy, and they're so sorry that he and the other original Charmed creators and cast members didn't get along. Which, by the way, I want to mention that Melanie Montauk, who played Macy, left because she says, quote, "people are ghoulish," and goes on to talk about the writer's room, and then someone put a hand down someone at in the writer's room's pants, someone's hand down their pants, and they weren't fired. And she got away to get away from these ghoulish people. So that is when he was, Curtis Kiel was called an asshole. So he says, oh yes, I forgot about the slight that he was called one. They thought they invented female empowerment. So I guess the three imposters figured out women were so weak, they wouldn't get their asses kicked when they trespassed into the house. And he said, I was called an asshole for defending our work. That's their official statement. They're keeping it classy right to the end. And then he says, first off, if you call fans of the original Charm names, you will be blocked. My previous tweet was about fictional characters, not real characters. And then he does say that the idea that there are more than one Charmed ones, he says, Prue Piper Page, Phoebe Page, is retrofit nonsense, meaning meant to legitimize the reboot. Because in this Charmed world, there are multiple sets of Charmed sisters. You don't have to be a sister. You don't have to be related. You could just be Charmed if you're three witches and you just get bestowed the power. So yes, there is a multiverse. He says we saw plenty of it in the original show, so the concept isn't new. And then in the Charmed multiverse, Prue, Piper, Phoebe, Paige are always the Charmed ones in every universe. Otherwise, it is not Charmed. It is another show pretending to be Charmed because Paramount decided they can make some money by slapping the title on it. Then he goes on to again say they borrowed a ton from them, the OG writers, and then at the 11th hour with the cancellation act swinging, they reverse course and decide to embrace the original Charmed in a desperate attempt to save the reboot. They realized it was a huge mistake to alienate fans of the original series by ignoring it a little too late. And then my favorite is he says he does not understand what's up with Phoebe and the videotape store. But we already had DVDs during the original's run. So you should have known this was bullshit. The writers would have known this too if they had consulted literally anyone involved with the original Charmed. Rob, okay, I said a lot. I just thought I'd catch everybody up, though. This is what...
Thank you for explaining it all. I really appreciate that. I mean, especially to kind of go over just the two of them instead of like everybody else's opinion. Because I know everybody had feelings and whatnot, but thank you for just categorizing just those two. First, I just want to say that it is sad to have the public watch two writers from two different shows that are big fans of Charmed to go at it like this in public. Because for one, I think that the Charm fandom should be united. There should never be this huge divide, whether it's Star Trek and Star Wars and all of those other simple messes out there that just really take everything so seriously that a fraction of a difference create a complete divide and battle. And it just sucks that these two shows are segregated and cannot get along. I, for one, think that with this public display, it's just going to antagonize and encourage others to be out there to pick a side and to constantly create more hate with the idea that there can only be one. And I have my share of movies and TV shows that I would not like to be rebooted or you know, I'm not even going to use the word replace, but just used as a way to gain money and create new fandom on somebody else's shoulders. There are some that I do protect. Does it ruin my childhood? Absolutely not. Do they have a right to do what they do? Yes, they do. Does it erase the original? Fans of the original should never come to a point of having something erased just because something else was created. If it is that easy for you to lose sight of what the original did for you because there's a newer and different version of it out there in the world, then I mean that doesn't signify exactly how big of a fan you are or how much the original meant to you. What I'm really trying to say is that it sucks that different artistic views cannot exist. Fandom has created this way that the original is the only thing that can ever happen and everything else is a knockoff and all of this stuff. And I just want to promote more witch shows. I don't, you know, it sucks that Charmed was used in this way, but with stuff like this, it's not allowing other people to go out and try to create new different things because it's always going to get accused of copying somebody else and it just whatever. But my thing with this one is that we are just going to constantly create more hate within the Charm fandom. And that's what I can't stand. That's what sucks. I hate that this was played out and displayed because did anything change? Did anything happen?
The was only
apology there was anything great that came out of this Twitter battle except for them expressing their feelings?
Well, it put Charmed back in the news again. I mean, there is countless Charmed articles. Put Charmed right now and you will see Charmed on every website that hasn't brought it up. No, you're right. And it does link the Charmed community with this battle and this fight. I gotta say, though, I think for both sides, it was a long time coming. I think both sides feel slighted for different things that happened when this was going down. And I do think for this original writer, this was like almost something you could tell that he's been really, really affected him. And I think seeing the manor at the end was really just the tipping point for him. And, you know, like this idea of like, and it's, I mean, and again, I'm not defending anything. I just think it is true that they did borrow a lot. I wish the show would have been called, I think we said this before, Gifted, and Blessed, anything else. Oh my God, I would have been out there I would have been out there watching the show if it was a Charmed homage and not just a show what you slapped on this name and then said the original wasn't feminist. I mean, yeah, it's not feminist as we would say nowadays, but at the time, that show was, you would think that is a girl centric powerful women's show, and that's how it was made. I mean, yes, they might have sexualized them in some parts, but just a lot of bad decisions, starting with just and even destroying the Book of Shadows in season two. Yeah, and then
that was it for me. The moment they destroyed the Book of Shadows so easily in the that's not my charm. So I had to remove myself from that. But I give anybody who loves this show right now so much praise.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I'm so glad that you have a show that you can connect with. And I will continue to watch my original and get my, you know, fix from that. Nothing wrong with that. You do you. So let's just settle something here. What Curtis had said, especially in the beginning, do you agree that the sisters would vanquish the Charmed sisters?
And, well, in this world, they're honestly, they're setting it up that they know that they were coming. So no, I would say no, that they're not, because Phoebe clearly made this whole video store for them to come. But in the theory of what Curtis is saying, I don't know about vanquish, but I think they would have definitely had something to say, and I'm sure Piper would have been ready to blow somebody else up walking in their door. I mean, do you think so, Rob?
I actually find it kind of hilarious. I can pick moments in this old series where different people would end up in the house and the immediate reaction would be, who are you? Rather than just immediately blow them up. So I think that the new sisters would have a chance to defend themselves before getting vanquished. But at the same time, if they are not quick with their answers, then yeah, I think the original sisters would probably get them out of the house if they couldn't explain. I found it funny, especially the wish them well. Does that mean I think that they deserve this kind of disrespect over Twitter? No. But again, I'm not in the writing room. You know, I didn't write this show. You know, I'm not as compassionate about it as Curtis. And I think that he is allowed to express himself however he wants. Would I choose to do that online? Absolutely not. Do I think that Charmed, the reboot, chose to take a lot of ideas from the original? Yes. And I think that was their biggest mistake.
All in season one, though. Like, they did everything in season one, and then everything else was like, nothing.
I think that was their biggest mistake, and had they just left that out, we may have gotten a different show and one that original Charm fans could possibly get behind. With that being said, yeah, it's just unfortunate that this had to happen, and I don't think that with all of this going on, it's going to warrant any kind of follow-up of the original sisters doing a reboot. For me, it's just too far gone.
Well, what do you think? Because evidently this wasn't a CW thing. This was because of the whole thing. Yes, they were canceling shows, but CVS themselves canceled this. That means they want the title back. That is more than CW just canceling it because it's one of the lowest rated shows. This is an actively, the copyright wants the title back. So it could be maybe they want to do maybe more with the book series. It's weird that the actual, you know, if they were making money and everything, I'm sure they wouldn't have done that. But still, there's something with the actual company saying, no, we want the title back. So maybe there is something. God knows, there could be a reboot of a reboot coming.
Okay. Well, now that the series has actually wrapped up, Ryan, do you see yourself going back and finishing the series?
There's that part of me that I'm like, well, now that there's no more damage I can do, I can't, you know, like, it's over, whatever. But I've heard so many, like, literally, I followed this weekly, the episodes, just out of curiosity. And I guess I might, but the storylines do not impress me at all. Keep me occupied at all. I think the whole time I'd be like, why did they do this when they could have done this? But I don't know, Rob. Maybe one day. What about you?
I honestly don't see myself watching this. I actually enjoyed the first season. It was confusing, but it was enough for me to try it again and continue on with season two. I mean, Macy was everything to me. So with her addition on the show, that she was the main focus that kept me watching throughout the whole season. I just wish that season two had been a little bit better. I honestly don't see myself returning to this. And with that being said, I just want to preface it that if you do enjoy this show, I think that is great. I hope that I am not judging you for your taste or anything like that, because I'm not. I'm just sharing my opinion and focusing on what was visible to me in this Twitter rant. I know nothing of what happened behind the scenes on either shows, so yeah, my opinion does not mean shit. I'm just sharing it just for the sake of how it's making me feel having it transpired on television and online. So that's pretty much all that I have to say about this.
And the last thing I think I have to say is, I think I could speak again for both of Rob and myself, that we would have loved for this to have been a Charmed reboot that we enjoyed, because I would have eaten this up if they did this right from the beginning. And with including these girls, if they would have done a storyline proper, what I think Charmed is, I would have been so happy with a continuation of some kind of the series.
I tell you this, if this show turned out to be something that I enjoyed, I would have literally followed up with another podcast.
Right. I could have. Yeah, I would have believed that. Definitely.
Hopefully we do not return to this type of ugliness again. Even with the original sisters, I think there was a period of time where a lot of people tuned in to anything that Alyssa and Rose had to say in regards to each other or the show. And I think people looked for that type of drama, and it's just not me. I don't look for that. I'd rather they just let it go unless they're going to reunite to do something positive. And if it turns out that there is just too much that they can't accomplish that, they need to be able to live their lives and not be guilt tripped into doing so just for the sake of fans or the legacy. I am okay that Charmed is over. And
at this point, yeah.
We have a lot of new stuff coming out, and I look forward to all of that good stuff. That's where my focus is. And hopefully the Charmed fans can unite and stop, you know, picking at each other just for the idea of which do you like better.
Beautifully said. So now on to that rant. Two.
All right. So we have a lot of stuff to cover. There were lots of messages on Instagram. We have a few from our Patreon page in the attic. We also have some voicemails, particularly from Melanie and Kevin. I think some of these are fun, but some of these are also rants that they have also wanted to express on what they've seen in season 8. Let's get started. Should we start with our voicemails, or should I do my messages?
You want to give our voices a rest for a minute and listen to some voicemails? <fair. laughs>
So let's start with Melanie.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's Melanie. I'm leaving you a voice message for the first time. I was listening to the last episode. I think it was Generation Hex. And Rob, I was laughing when you talked about Billy's hair. I've noticed it all season, but especially in this episode, it was a hot mess. And look, I know weird hairstyles were in that year. I was about Billy's age at the time, and I know I probably had a weird hairstyle myself, but it's really been special. A couple of episodes, it really looked like a wig to me. It might have been. Maybe they just didn't want to spend all the time in hair and makeup, you know? You never know. But it's looked kind of bizarre all season. Not my favorite year for hairstyles.
So I did make that comment about the hair. The hair ended up being MVP in that episode, and I'm glad that people are enjoying sort of that comment. And yeah, I thought it was funny, but it's good that people, because I could have gotten red for filth. I don't know. People could just be like, "How dare you? Don't know women's hair." But it, yeah,
no, I don't think there's anyone that could defend that hair. That was amazing.
So Michael on Patreon also got a kick out of some of our latest episodes in regards to, you know, things that have made him laugh. And so he goes, I'm listening to this week's episode and I'm dying from laughter. I wish I could see y'all's expressions while recording this, because I only imagine how funny it is. The comment about Aviva and Billy's hair were killing me. So yeah, thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, I was definitely laughing quite a lot over here when we did that.
Okay, so here's her second voicemail.
I also want to talk about Billy's parents. They are the worst parents on this show. Just the fact that they told Billy that they would not come back to see Christy again because it was painful for them. Like, what? Your child was kidnapped and abused for, what, 10 years or more? And the child is traumatized and doesn't want to see you right away. Your job as the parent is to be there for them no matter what. You're ready to give up on your child after, like, 5 minutes after they've been saved. What the fuck? Like, that's my only response to that is, what the fuck? They're terrible parents. Terrible.
Well, tell them how you really feel. I love it.
Yeah, I honestly am not a parent. So when we had that discussion,
yeah,
you know, I kind of turned it around and was like, you know, is there a point when parents can just say, my child does not love me. They don't want to have anything to do with me. Do I just walk away? And she, you know, is like, how dare you? You are the parent. You were supposed to keep trying and trying and trying, you know, until, you know, 15 years she was alone. You have to deal with this for 5 minutes and you're ready to go. So I totally understand the rant.
And Melanie is one of our charmy parents. So yeah, so she knows how it is. But yeah, I'm glad she called and said that.
Here's so the next one.
I also want to address the acting of the parents. The mom is not terrible. She's not amazing, but the script that she has to work with, her lines aren't the best. The dad is horrible. He just phones it in at every turn. Honestly, the Jenkins, their family trait is bad acting, at least when it comes to serious emotions. Even when the parents were killed, Billy's reaction, just really, they just phone it in. And I know it's really hard to be believably distraught. You have to dig really deep and it's really difficult. But when you're on a big show like that, you really need to do that, or they need to be hiring actors who are able to access those kinds of deep feelings, and or at least able to portray them if they're going to be giving them such emotional roles.
You just spoke my mind, Melanie. That is exactly... that's exactly how it was. It was insanity that even Billy, and I think I even mentioned, I mean, of course, I don't want to bring up traumatic events for her, but she was on 8 Simple Rules. So even, you know, she was with John Ritter for that season and she had to play that whole arc where he passed away and they incorporated it in the show. Like, there are things that you could maybe look back in as an actress. Maybe the directing was, they just said, doesn't matter because we're just trying to get the storyline together. But yeah. And I love when you said the Jenkins has a family. It's so funny. It's so true. I love it. Great, great comments as always.
But you know what? I think a little bit on Instagram and Twitter, I've actually come across people who have said that they really enjoy or are cool with Marnette and her acting. Okay. And the fact that she is a Top Gun manipulator.
Yeah.
The way that she is expressing her, you know, dismay for the Charmed Ones and just talking Billy into, you know, her being on her side, all of that is so true with people out there. There are some heavy manipulators who are trained and skilled to talk anyone into the way that they want them to think. And Marnette apparently showed a lot of that in her speech, as well as sort of a victim of trauma being kidnapped.
I think what Shay, our charmy guest, just mentioned that too, that she gets that storyline and how she could manipulate Billy. So I'm glad there are Christy sympathizers. There's people that could see what she's doing and she's doing it well.
So for instance, this is from Clem from Twitter. It has really good action as far as the episode. This is when Simon was here. He goes, Simon is fun. Henry really is the best guy the show ever had. He said it. And I think Marnette did a good job of playing someone seemingly traumatized. It's interesting how later Brad Kern said the network hired her as he didn't think she was right for the role.
Wow.
He also follows up by saying, I think I love so much Marnette. I'm thinking the same thing. Unpopular opinion, Charmed Season 8 is one of the best seasons.
You know what? I love that again, that here's a charmy that actually loves season 8 as one of the best seasons. And I think we've said it too. I mean, it's not as bad, I think, as we initially perceived it as. It has its faults, believe me, but it is not the worst season of television history of a series.
Here's another one.
I also wanted to bring up the scene where Christy does meet her parents again after they manipulate her into doing so. It just, the writing and the acting both seem so lackluster. I think they would have had such a bigger and more emotional reaction to seeing their child again after 10 years when they probably gave her up for dead and never thought they would see her again. It just took me out of it. I felt like a different show. And I just want to shake the production staff and just, you know, clearly they were going for a spinoff at this point. But I want to just shake them and tell them, if you want a spinoff, you need to put more effort into it. We gave up Leo and Daryl for this. Make it good. Hate the Jenkins family, clearly. Anyway, that's my rant. Thank you guys for all that you do. Love you both. Blessed be.
Thank you, Melanie. We love when you always come up with these sharp opinions, and I love
she was on a roll. It sounded like she was in a car. I was like, if she doesn't let this out, she's going to take it out on the vehicle in front of her. So thank you. That's what we're here for. Confess. But 4 days later, something triggered her and she decided to leave one more voicemail.
Okay.
What?
If you could only see my face, I love it. At home, I'm laughing quite a... Oh, God. Okay, come on, Melanie.
Hey, guys. It's Melanie again. I guess I leave voice messages now. So I was listening to the latest episode, and you guys were laughing about how excited Coop was about Phoebe's past romance, which was super hot. I agree. But it's funny because I had just rewatched the episode, and I thought the same thing. And I started thinking about the future sex life of Phoebe and Coop and the many uses of the ring. Y'all, they don't have to record themselves. They can just go back in time and watch themselves. I wonder if they have, like, orgies with their other self. Like, I don't know why I just started having these really bizarre thoughts of all the crazy, weird, kinky shit they could get up to. But I did. And there, that is out there for everyone else to think about now. Okay, bye.
That's amazing. Okay, so I haven't watched it yet, but it is on my list. So on HBO, they have a television series of the film, the time traveler is Theo James. Oh my God, still gorgeous as hell. I don't know the context, but apparently he goes back in time when he was a teenager. He goes to see himself as a teenager. So I think they're both teenagers at this time. He's not going back as an adult. I don't know how this time traveling works, but he decides to give himself head, literally. And I don't know the context. Look, guys, I'm sure have tried it. I'm sure they've tried it. So to call this incest or disgusting or whatever the case, whatever. You'd probably do it too if you went back in time and saw yourself.
I don't know. I would. There's a lot of things I would want to take back. I don't know.
You clearly know how to pleasure yourself. Why wouldn't you want to do that to your literal self? If you were cloned, are you serious? You would not touch yourself.
I never thought of it like that. I get. I don't know. Just to go back in time to do that.
I'm not saying that's your whole mission, but if there was an opportunity presented, anyways. Melanie's idea.
It's too good looking. I've seen like a clip of it. That man is too good looking to have to go back in time to do it himself. Let me just tell you that.
But Melanie, I think, has a little bit of a point. That ring could possibly create a lot of kinky and orgy-like situations. I mean, spread the love if you really want
to. This is all because Rob had to say, my favorite quote I think of the series is going to be, instead of the, why is that little white girl on the road with the trolls? It's going to be... Coop was, he was so turned on, he almost pulled it out when Phoebe was making out with Anton.
Oh, that is too funny. Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. We do have another voicemail, but I want to turn to Instagram really fast and just talk about some of the messages that I received and see what Ryan thinks of them. So this one is from Billiard_Jones. So he starts off with the word rant. I told you I'm getting rants this
here we go.
Lately. Had to pause the episode when you guys got to the Noxin demon thing. I was half waiting for the kids, and this is Generation Hex, to be revealed as demons in disguise. using the Leo angle to get into the manor.
Wow.
Because he wasn't there to vouch for them one way or another. But this is actually, oh my fucking God, what these people are doing over there. And he was referring to magic school.
Oh, I was like, where they go? What are they doing?
I don't. Well, it's the torturing of the demons.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy. Yeah,
so
was crazy.
I don't mind a fight and I don't mind killing someone if you're fighting them for good reason. But causing never ending pain is the most demonic shenanigans. It goes against the character of Leo and the entire fabric of that school. This is the writer's bad and shows a massive blind spot in their morality. You, a Nazi Leo, kids? Yeah, you actually are, though. Remember, when the girls made dates out of thin air, why not make a person who not only didn't hate it, but was, like, into it to win? Like, being vanquished felt nice to them, and they were just proud of the progress the students made each go around. Something else. I could kind of get behind it maybe if they felt no pain and were just being subjected to never-ending boredom with magic school dorkos, but they felt pain and were fairly vocal about how horrific it was for them. So these people heard those arguments and still were like, "Obliviate! Rant done."
I mean, this is perfectly stated. It's a very weird concept. I remember even in the episode, we were just like, how is this a thing in magic school that Leo was okay with it? But this, the way that it was worded, this is a great plot line with the fact that maybe, yeah, he could just be bored and he's, you know, he's sick of living all these years, but he can't be vanquished, but he doesn't feel the pain. Yeah, the pain angle is very... very strange to add in.
So the next one that I have is from Iman Arkeles. Hello, Rob and Ryan. We are currently approaching the end and it is really bitter. No sweet that your show is coming to an end. Sunday's listenings to brunch has become the norm and I'm dreading this countdown, LOL. I just have a few things to say real quick in regards to a couple of things you and Ryan discussed during the Generation Hex episode. You guys brought up the fact that Phoebe and Coop could have easily watched the clip show instead of traveling through time with his ring, but I feel like it was a plot device to foreshadow what the Cupid's ring was capable of, so it didn't seem random when it was used in a future episode in the exact same way.
So smart.
So I'm wondering, is this how is this how Piper goes back with Cupid's ring? I did not know that. You sound disapproval of this.
It's been said over the years, it's like that the Cupid is basically the strongest character then in the Charmed universe, because he could have gone back to any moment then with no repercussion. You could just go bloop.
It just clicked in my head because I remember the finale that she did have to go back, but I forgot that that's how it happened. Interesting. That'll be really fun to analyze when we get to that. Number two, you brought up the question if Piper even knew about what happened with Prue and Phoebe when she went away to Hawaii.
Yes.
In the season 3 episode Pre-Witched, Phoebe hinted to Piper that something happened when she was away because Piper tried to use that as an excuse to move out with Leo. So I think she may have been told afterwards just to get her say. Do you remember this?
You know what? That's a great callback. It sounds familiar. So great. See, our charmies are so sharp.
Also, I did put up a poll and I asked if Henry wasn't in the picture, if you were Paige, would you have married Simon? We had one person respond, no, he is too entitled and sure of his impending marriage to Paige. He doesn't even know her. He thinks of her as a wife and not an actual person.
True.
He's hot though, not gonna lie, but a douche. Let's get back to our last voicemail. This is from Kevin, who is from the Words of Witches of the Witches podcast.
Hello,
I believe
Kevin.
He is going to school us on the explanation as to the alternate timeline that Paige was in and how that worked out. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, it's Kevin from Words of the Witches podcast again. Because I consider myself something of a charmed expert, I thought I would give you the explanation you guys were looking for about the Cole alternate timeline thing. So what Cole did is, with his new avatar powers, he changed the current state of the world. So he didn't do anything with time travel. He didn't go back in time or forward in time and change an event necessarily. He just changed the current world to an ideal version of what he thought would be ideal with Phoebe. And that means not meeting Paige, and Paige not meeting her sisters, and Paige being killed. So taking out that element, these were the turn of events that would have happened that led to where they would have been in season 5.
Okay, I think that makes sense. If I heard him correctly, he is saying that an alternate reality was sort of replaced with our current reality. No different timeline. It's just the fact that because Paige was in the picture, what I thought happened is that they went back in time, took care of Paige, and then we got this new future.
It does make sense. You know, Kevin, it's true, because they did say that, yeah, that he made sure this was a place where Paige was never met the sisters. Yeah, so I guess it's that avatar power as well, like they did with Utopia. It's like they can just create these realities.
Yeah, these realities. So he does go on, because I do still have a little bit of a question about when everything is turned back to normal and like the state. So here's the part two.
Now, in this reality, Cole was Balthazar again, therefore negating his avatar status and his avatar powers. So he wouldn't have the ability to change things again. So the fact that he was vanquished and then the status quo of the world returned to what it was before doesn't quite compute for me. I like to believe that because the avatars weren't fond of Cole's plan, that and he was using their collective, that they eventually used their powers to revert back to where it was, because they weren't ready for their plan to take hold yet, and this version of their plan was not conducive to their plans and not part of their prescribed ideals. So yeah, I want to say something else. Oh, and so yeah, Phoebe was seeing this for the first time, and because Phoebe was actually seeing this for the first time, I think her reaction was justified. I think her reaction made sense for someone who may have witnessed this for the first time, and it may have stirred up some emotions in her that she didn't realize she had or thought she had forgotten. And it was probably a little intense for her. I was under the impression that Coop was going through her memories, her past memories, and that's why this one did seem a little bit out of place, because she wouldn't have remembered it. But who knows? Coop's powers are strange, and who knows? But I just think it's very fascinating, very interesting stuff.
Okay, so he saw sort of like the questioning take on how everything kind of reverted back. And I enjoy his theory, you know, until I'm proven otherwise, I will just go ahead with how he explained it. But that was some of the things that was a little confusing. It just wasn't very laid out as easy to witness and realize. So thank you so much, Kevin, for that. I do.
Yes, thank you so much, Kevin. That was great. Yeah.
I did kind of forget that the current reality was changed and not necessarily altered to create a new timeline. I've just got Marvel on the brain. That's how time travel works for me. So I'm just going to go with those theories until somebody says otherwise. That is going to do it for our Charmy Confessions / rant. I told you that we had a lot to say in this episode, so it warranted another bonus episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this extra tidbit as we do count down the last few episodes of Brunch with the Hollow Elves, as well as the recap of the original Charm series. If you guys want to leave any voicemail as you want, any goodbye messages, any last minute questions you had for Ryan and I before the show actually ends, feel free to leave a voicemail on anchor.fm, our home for our podcast, as well as you can write us on Instagram and Twitter. BWTH Podcast on Twitter, and Brunch with the Hollowells, all one word, on Instagram.